Let's see. Texting while driving. That would be TXT while DRV equals BAD.
Yes, I'm a professional truck driver, and texting is the scariest thing I see.
BFD.
This is Neil. I was biking and using my cell phone and got a craniotomy as a result.
TMI.
Just trying to make a living and stay alive when there's people texting all over me, and it's worse than drunk, worse than grandma and grandpa in a motorhome.
LOL. No laughing matter. Technologically induced distracted driving when your BlackBerry gives you a lobotomy. It's the takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. Wednesday, September 30th. I hope you're not texting out there. I'm John Hockenberry here with Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, John. I'm not texting. However, we are going to get some insight into strategy in Afghanistan from the Bush administration's ambassador to that country. Also, Todd Zwillick will break down yesterday's big moves on health care. And it's Wednesday, so we're going to be talking about food. Summer's over. Is it time to start baking?
But first, Alicia Jones, you're 19 years old, right?
Yes, I am.
Really quick question for you here. How many times can you text during a red light?
Well, I don't know. I'm a pretty fast texter myself, but I normally try and save all my text messages to respond to when I'm at the red light.
When you're at the red light. So how many texts can you do during a green light?
I'm kind of worse with that one.
Yeah, right. Fewer, but you still do it, right?
Yeah.
The difficulty of resisting texting, that's part of our discussion when we continue in a moment. Stay with us, Alicia.
In the headlines, President Obama is declaring American Samoa a disaster area. This after a powerful earthquake caused a tsunami in the South Pacific. At least 99 are dead in Samoa, and American Samoa federal aid is on the way there. In healthcare, there's no so-called public option in the Senate Finance Committee bill. Liberals failed to add it in two votes. Yesterday, supporters say they'll fight for a government plan on the full Senate floor. And the president sits down in the Situation Room today to talk about troop levels in Afghanistan. He's meeting with his national security team.
Michelle Obama is in Copenhagen today. She's lobbying Olympic voters to hold the 2016 Summer Games in Chicago. Her husband joins her tomorrow to give a presidential pitch before Friday's official vote. Toyota is recalling floor mats from nearly 4 million vehicles in the United States. There's a danger the gas pedal could stick. The problem floor mats are in the Camry, the Prius, and some Lexus models. For now, Toyota recommends removing floor mats until they're replaced. And the Obama administration has indicated it's not in a hurry to slap severe sanctions on Iran because of its nuclear ambitions. The State Department says it's hoping talks with Iran beginning tomorrow will open the door for dialogue. Wall Street dipped slightly yesterday. The Dow opened at 97.42. The S&P starts trading at 10.62 this morning, and the Nasdaq begins at 21.24. So we talked to Alicia there. Difficult for her to resist texting, but her behavior is part of the reason that there is a big summit in the nation's capital today all about distracted, high technological driving. Distracted driving is at the top of the agenda for those folks in Washington. What do you think about all this? Let's check in. How much multitasking do you do while you're driving? Tell us your distracted driving stories, and we'll share them with the feds. 877-8-MY-TAKE.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org. And by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Morning, everyone. So, you know, I hate that term, perfect storm. People use it all the time. But in this particular case, it applies. There is a perfect storm of events that really make it difficult for us drivers. Do you text while you drive, Celeste?
I do not text. I talk on my phone. I don't text.
Yeah, right.
I don't.
Well, you lived in Los Angeles for a while, right?
I did.
People spend more and more time in traffic jams. So they
going 2 or 3 miles an hour.
Exactly.
And I will admit that I brought a book with me to read while I was on the freeway.
I mean, it's an impossible temptation. You're getting nothing done.
You're
right?
Going 2 miles an hour.
you want to try to use that time productively.
That's right. You literally don't have your foot on the gas pedal because your car in just without hitting the gas is going fast enough.
So more and more time in traffic jams, all right? Couple that with a proliferation of technological devices that allow you to communicate more or less constantly. Right, Alicia?
Yep.
It's a pretty tough road to hoe. Alicia Jones, you're 19 years old. You have very difficult time resisting texting, correct?
Yes, I do.
And this is actually a serious argument in your own family, correct?
Yeah, me and my dad have different opinions on that.
So Alicia Jones from New Jersey, right? And your dad is Officer Sergeant Stephen Jones of the New Jersey State Police. Sergeant Jones, good morning.
Good morning, John and Celeste.
So how often do you meet up with drivers like your own daughter?
Far too often. And unfortunately, some of the times we meet them are in the worst of circumstances, too, during a crash.
And, you know, in many ways, the most macabre aspect of this is that the texting device often leaves a record of the actual accident itself, either in the audio on a phone call or the garbled text message that becomes the sort of last communication of somebody if the accident turns out to be fatal. Right, Sergeant?
That is morbid, yeah. Unfortunately, it does happen. The recordings often do not pick up something like that because phone calls are normally not recorded, but certainly someone else, a friend or a loved one, is going to be the witness to that.
Well, each year, millions of Americans take their eyes off the road, and it's a reason what we're talking about right here is part of the motivation for the Federal Department of Transportation convening a distracted driving summit in Washington, D.C. Elected officials will be a part of it, lawmakers, transportation experts, all talking about this subject that was raised by our producer, Jim Colgan, who confronted some drivers who were distracted and also moving at about 1 mile an hour near our offices in Lower Manhattan on their way into the Holland Tunnel.
I don't text when I'm driving.
Every now and then I'll text, but in traffic like this, but not when I'm going fast or anything like that, or in the highway.
No, I don't.
You don't? Is that an earpiece in your head?
Yes, it is.
So you do talk on the phone, though?
Well, yes.
But you don't think that's distracting?
Well, I draw the line by not making phone calls, because with this I can voice activate my phone, and no texting.
Distracting? No.
I'll let you go. Thanks.
So also joining us is Kristen Backstrom, who's a senior manager of the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning.
You're in Washington, D.C. I suspect you'll be attending that summit that convenes today in Washington, right?
I'm actually on one of the panels to talk about the prevalence of distracted driving in our society. I have to say I'm a little bit terrified by Alicia's comment, but it does reinforce the results of a survey that I heard about recently, where teens actually believe the distraction while they're in the car is driving. They want to use that time to communicate with their friends through all available means, check the latest music, download, check their computers. But the actual physical act of driving, they find, gets in the way of them doing what they want to do when they're in the car. As a spokesperson or a participant in the traffic safety community, I find that unbelievably shocking and really scary. We know.
Yeah, you have to be a little sympathetic, Kristen. I mean, the law on this is all over the map. You can hear people in those conversations that we recorded trying to make their own rules. And you've got all sorts of technological temptations. I mean, when the summit convenes today in Washington, they're in a real predicament. I mean, the law just really has not kept up to date with technology and certainly with young people's behavior, right?
That is an interesting way to put it, but I am not going to agree. I think we have a real societal problem on our hands. We tolerate more than 40,000 lives lost every year on the road at an economic cost of more than $300 billion. We know that distraction is implicated in up to 8,000 crashes every day. Our drivers absolutely believe that it's unacceptable for drivers to send text messages or email at just about the same rate as they believe it's not okay to drink and drive.
Okay, Kristen, hold on 1 second. Alicia, it sounds like Kristen Backstrom of the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety is calling you a social problem.
Well, I am sociable, but I'm not sure about a social problem.
But she's terrified by your behavior and the apparent cavalier attitude that you have about texting while you're driving. Is she right?
I don't really think so. See, my problem is I really don't feel like stopping the car like every 5 seconds to answer a text message. My dad's like, oh, well, why don't you just pull over? It's a lot easier. You can just answer it then. But I get
what
so
kind
many
of a,
texts
what,
a minute.
What kind of a device do you have, Alicia?
It's the MV2. It has that screen where you can flip it up and it has
right.
the keyboard inside.
I
or
think
you can text
if,
out.
If you look on the right side of it, I think there's a button there. It's called the off button.
It's just a convenient thing, really.
Alicia.
Well, Alicia, your dad is absolutely right. You are substantially at risk of crashing your car. And this is a huge problem. People just really don't appreciate and act on what we know is a serious risk to not just your safety, but other drivers on the road. I mean, would you get behind the wheel after you'd been drinking and drive? No, but we have
not. Well, let's hear her answer. Let's hear her answer. Alicia?
Would I get behind the wheel if I were drinking and driving?
Yeah, your dad's on the phone now, remember.
Of course, I don't even underage drink.
Yeah, she's 19.
All right.
Well, that's a great step right there, but I think it's important for society to start recognizing that when you are distracted behind the wheel, you are not being safe, and you're putting other people and yourself at risk.
Sergeant,
your dad's job is to help keep the roads safe for all users.
Sergeant Jones, let me ask you, are we really talking about young people here? I mean, it's not just teens and
right.
young 20s that are doing this. What are some of the worst things you've seen, and what are the average ages of the people who are getting in these wrecks from using their cell phones?
It's not just young people, and in general, rear-end accidents are probably the most common type of accident we find, especially during the commutes. Well, you're hardly going to be finding a rear-end accident that was not caused by somebody looking away, looking down, or doing something else. And that, of course, ranges through all ages. It's all commuters. It's anybody on the road who's just adjusting a radio, speaking to a child in the back seat. It can be really any number of things that can distract us. I think the most egregious is the texting while
right.
driving, though, because it just takes so much of your attention away.
Well, Sergeant, I have to admire your daughter's candor in coming on the program with you to talk about her behavior, and I don't want to leave the impression to our listeners that we're a bunch of preachy adults just ganging up on a 19-year-old here. But of the people that you've pulled over, what is the dumbest, most infuriating excuse someone used to justify their texting while they were driving?
Wow. I've got to meet my daughter, and it's important that she knows exactly where I'm going to be. Well, none of those things are so time critical that that father in that case should have been risking his own ability to meet her. A lot of the excuses are antithetical to what the real goals are.
But you know, Stephen, and also Kristen, what as a parent, how if you even you as a New Jersey State Patrolman can't get your daughter to drive more safely or get her to practice better things, how do I, who's not a New Jersey State Patrolman, what do I do with my son when he's of driving age?
Well, you know, let me take a shot at that, please. I think we've all got to walk the walk, and in preparation for this little segment, I guess I've been thinking through things, saying, well, have I been the absolute model of perfection in some of these areas? Or have I let my priorities build up in my own life an excuse for, oh, well, you know, here's why I had to dial the phone this time, because this was important.
Well, let's ask the expert. Alicia, does your dad walk the walk and talk the talk?
He is constantly on his phone.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
Listen to that. All right.
Great way to describe the problem that we have in society.
Let me put a focus question to you before the end, because we're almost done, Kristen. Is the idea here that we do what we did with seatbelts, raise awareness, or do we need a whole new set of laws for these technological devices as you convene this summit down in Washington?
Legislation without enforcement is not going to work. We need a culture shift of dramatic proportion. 4 out of 5 drivers between the ages of 16 and 54 admit they drive while distracted on a regular basis.
All right,
it's
great
not
statistic.
Just Alicia.
We'll use that as our takeaway. Kristen Backstrom, Senior Manager for the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety. Alicia Jones, how many times did you text during this interview?
Not at all.
Alicia Jones, 19 years old, and her father is Sergeant Stephen Jones of the New Jersey State Police. Thanks, guys.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.